Today on More to Life, forgive me? Are you struggling to forgive yourself or others? We'll walk you through the steps toward healing and reconciliation. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, forgive me? We're talking about forgiveness and whether the struggle is forgiving someone who hurt you or even forgiving yourself for past mistakes. We want to walk you through the steps toward healing, wholeness, and reconciliation. Are you struggling with unforgiveness in some way? Let us help. 877-573-7825. And I should say, whether you're struggling to forgive someone or struggling to get someone to forgive you,
yes,
we're happy to help on either side of that equation. 877-573-7825.
Look, there's just a lot about forgiving ourselves, forgiving someone else, that is complicated. You know, if there was real sin involved, yes, by all means, you go to confession, you get the grace of the sacrament of reconciliation. It is so powerful. But even after that, it takes work to reprogram our thinking about whatever it was that happened. Whether, you know, we've confessed that we can't forgive someone or that we're struggling with that and we're trying, but we're holding a grudge, or we're battling with ourselves in some way, or whether we're trying to forgive ourselves for something, our thoughts can become very destructive toward us. We can keep bringing it up over and over again as a way of protecting ourselves, of thinking that we're armoring ourselves against ever being hurt again. We can beat ourselves up if we're not forgiving ourselves about something, to remind ourselves over and over, don't do that again. And what it does is it just tears us down. It makes it harder and harder to be the loving, healed, holy person that we were created to be. So we need to be able to come against those thoughts in an effective way. We need to know what the right steps are in a relationship that may be involved in all of this. And to be able to protect ourselves and build ourselves up in healthy and holy ways, not ways that are destructive.
And real forgiveness enables us to do all of that.
That's right.
So give us a call, 877-573-7825, and tell us, is there something you're struggling with related to forgiveness? Maybe there's something in your past that you just can't seem to forgive yourself for, even after you've gone to confession. Maybe you've been hurt by someone and are struggling to let go of the resentment, even though you want to. How do you forgive somebody who hurt you but isn't sorry, or maybe keeps even justifying what they did? Or how can you forgive someone who's no longer in your life, whether because they've passed away or the relationship has ended? What's the hardest part for you in moving from anger to peace? However you're struggling with forgiveness, and however that's holding you back, we want to help you find healing, wholeness, and when possible, reconciliation. 877-573-7825. Again, whether you're struggling to forgive or get forgiveness from someone, let us help you with both sides of that coin. Today on More to Life, again, the number 877-573-7825. Every day, on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might be thinking, how's theology going to help me with this? What exactly is that going to help me with forgiveness? Well, good questions. So St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked kind of a big question. Basically, he said, if we looked at everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships?
And when we look at the theology of the body that came out of that question, we realize that it teaches that being Christ's disciples means loving others with the same self-giving love that comes from God's heart. This kind of love seeks the good of the other, even when it is hard. Forgiveness flows from that love. It's a choice to will the good of the one who hurt us, even if they don't deserve it. It doesn't mean ignoring injustice or pretending the hurt didn't happen. It means choosing not to add to the harm. Let me repeat that again. It means choosing not to add to the harm. As St. Augustine said, to forgive is to surrender our natural desire for revenge. Instead of lashing out, we bring our pain to God and ask Him to show us how to respond in ways that lead to real healing for ourselves and, when possible, the other person.
You know, psychology confirms that unforgiveness traps us in stress, bitterness. It even negatively impacts our health. While forgiveness frees us from the corrosive effects of anger. From a Catholic perspective, forgiveness is not about forgetting the offense. In fact, the Catechism says as much. It's not about excusing an offense or removing the offender's responsibility to repair the damage. Nor does it require us to reconcile with the person if they aren't repentant or they continue to hurt us. Forgiveness is just an inner decision to release the injury's hold on us, giving God permission to heal our hearts. If you're struggling to forgive, whether yourself or others, first you want to bring that situation to God. Ask Him for the grace to respond in ways that help you be your best, challenge the other person to be theirs, and when possible, foster a healthy relationship moving forward. Second, it also involves setting boundaries that reduce the chance that offense will happen again. Third, if the person is repentant, we need to discuss what steps we could use to make that relationship stronger. You know, by avoiding both the rush to just get over it and the temptation to cling to the pain, we allow God to bring real healing to the wounds we cause one another. And that's what true forgiveness looks like. It's a little hard to pull it off, though, in real life. So if you are struggling in some way to either forgive someone or get forgiveness from someone, let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring to you those hurts and those struggles that we have with unforgiveness. Help us, Lord, so that we are able to respond more effectively to those situations in ways that enable us to surrender our desire to hurt the person for having hurt us, in ways that enable us to be our best selves and challenge the person who hurt us to be their best selves too, so that we can cooperate with your grace to not just get past the offense, but heal from it. Lead us and guide us in those steps so that our hearts can be transformed and healed through your grace and open to building your kingdom, even in the face of injuries. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, forgive me. That's the title of the show, as we talk about forgiveness, both of ourselves, of others, and the struggle to get others to forgive us when we've hurt them. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Martha, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hi, Martha. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Yeah, hi. I lost my son about 8 years ago to suicide, and it's been a very long journey. Sure. And I, you know, the good thing is I've come back to the church. I'm a cradle Catholic, and I've been reunited with the church, and there's been a lot of wonderful things that have happened. However, I still struggle internally with the situation that had happened and different things I could have done, and it's just really it's just hard, you know. It's just it's hard not to feel guilty still, even after all this time. Even though my brain says, you know, and I've been through counseling and all this stuff, and I know, but it's just really hard to let that go for some reason. I was compelled to call you today.
No, I'm really glad you did call. Thank you, Martha. And I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm so sorry for what you've been through. I'm grateful for the journey that you are, the Holy Spirit is leading you on, and that you've been able to experience some healing and grace through all of this. Let me ask you, though, when you say, you know, that you feel guilty, again, that's a very common experience in the face of this, but it's also very specific to each person. So when you talk about having a hard time forgiving yourself for your son's suicide, What kind of stands out for you? What are you feeling the most guilty about?
That I didn't, I wasn't in a place at the time mentally or emotionally to be able to be there for him as I should as a mother.
Okay.
Because of my circumstances and different things that were going on in my life.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that with me. And so let's talk about what forgiving ourselves really means, okay? So let's go back to St. Augustine's definition of forgiveness. St. Augustine said that forgiveness means surrendering our natural desire for revenge. In other words, we give up our desire to hurt the person who hurt us. Well, when we talk about forgiving ourselves, what that means is I'm going to give up the temptation to keep beating up on myself for that thing that I did. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to say that it's okay that I did it, or that it was perfectly good that I was in that place.
Right. Just as we would not say that it was perfectly okay that anyone harmed us, we just give up that desire for revenge.
So forgiving yourself it involves two things in this case, Martha. It involves recognizing where that state that you were at, the things that stopped you from being there for your son the way that you wanted to be able to be. But also it means continuing to heal those things. You know, I'm going to love myself enough to work to heal whatever those things are that were in my life or that continue to be in my life that stop me from being there for others the way I would like to be. And so in that way, I'm able to acknowledge my limitations or my struggles or the things I regret, but in a way that allows me to cooperate with God's grace to move forward with healing. And as difficult as this might be, right, and as much as you will always grieve the loss of your son and the way that your son passed, you can also look at that and see that through that experience, you were able to cooperate with God's grace to bring a lot of healing to your life, and that God is continuing to work with you to heal you, and that we can pray for that person who passed and ask them to pray for us. Because we do, even though suicide is a very serious thing, we pray that God would be able to receive that person. We hold out the hope for their salvation, and we can ask them to pray for us. And so I would encourage you to do all of that and recognize that your son wants this healing for you, that God wants this healing for you, and forgiving yourself doesn't mean saying, it was fine that I wasn't there the way I wish I could have been. But it does mean saying that I'm going to take the grace from this experience and heal those things that prevented me from being there then and might prevent me now from being there for others the way I would like to be.
I'd like to build on that last sentence, Greg, which is when you are holding on to this as a form of grieving, as a form of self-inflicted penance that is not truly penitential, you know, truly being penitent in this and in anything we do is to say, how can I be better than the person I was that I'm angry at? How can I grow in a way that would make the person, in this case your son, who I feel I've wronged in some way, proud of me? How can I live in a way that allows my heart to know that I'm being my best self in order to be the person I wish I had been then, and heal so that I can feel a sense of peace now, so that one day, with God's grace and mercy, we can, you and your son, hold each other close in God's presence and know that you've done everything you can to heal who you are so you can be there for him.
The last thing I'll share with you, Martha, is that when we grieve, we often think that means letting the person go.
Right.
Grieving, though, really is the process of finding healthy ways to stay connected to the person that we've lost. And when we've lost somebody in such a traumatic situation, a lot of the times the way we hold on to that person is by beating up on ourselves. And it's not really about us, it's how I hold on to that person. And so I would suggest bringing that to prayer and asking God to give you healthy ways to stay connected to your son, what he means to you, continues to mean to you, what he brought to your life. And as I said, I'd like you to continue to pray for him and ask him to pray for you as well. As a way of continuing that healing process, finding healthy ways to stay connected to him and also continue to cooperate with the grace that enables you to heal those parts of you that weren't able to be there the way you wish you could have, that might still be preventing you from being there for others the way you would like to be. That's what forgiving yourself really means. I'm going to stop adding to the hurt. I'm going to stop adding to the pain. I'm going to start focusing on the healing by acknowledging the parts of me that I wish were different and working to heal those parts with God's grace. And if there's more that we can do to support you in that healing journey, Martha, I really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But I do hope that these suggestions will give you some different ways to think about all of this moving forward. And I thank you so much for the call. We've added you and the repose of your son's soul to our More to Life prayer list. And if there's more we can do to support you, please reach out at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we have to go to our break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about forgiveness on our show today titled, Forgive Me? As we talk about the challenges we face in forgiving ourselves, forgiving others, or getting forgiveness from others, let us walk you through the steps toward healing, wholeness, and reconciliation. 877-573-7825. More to Life will be back right after this.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. Once declared, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. He died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Forgive Me, we're talking about the challenge of forgiveness, both forgiving others, forgiving ourselves, and getting forgiveness from the people that we've hurt. If you're struggling with forgiveness in any way, let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She specializes in the psychology of success and directs the Catholic Counselors Program in Performance Excellence, where she works with Catholic athletes, executives, performers, and other people who have to be their best under pressure. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
It's great to be here.
So you wanted to talk a little bit about how forgiveness can be empowering in our life and our relationships.
I think it's important to recognize that forgiveness isn't saying what happened was okay. It's saying, I choose not to carry this weight anymore or let it define me anymore. When we hold on to hurt, we think we're protecting ourselves, or we even feel like that in some way we're maybe punishing the other person. Because we replay that pain and relive that moment over and over again, just hoping it will make it hurt less. But it doesn't. It just only keeps that wound open and allows that bitterness or resentment to come in. But forgiveness doesn't erase the past. It just unchains us from it. It's choosing to set down that burden so that we can walk lighter, breathe deeper, and move forward in a more solution-oriented and empowered way. Because forgiveness also is not a one-time event. It's a process. It's one choice at a time, especially when that pain is running deep. So some days, it'll feel easy and we'll feel ready to let it go. But other days, that hurt will creep back in, and that's okay. Mm. We have to remember that forgiveness doesn't mean that we put ourselves back in harm's way. Boundaries and forgiveness can coexist. They need to exist together, because that's how we become more empowered. Forgiveness allows us to say, I no longer want to live in that hurt, so that instead I can set the boundaries that are necessary and recognize my worth and live in accordance with who God created me to be. So maybe today, you know, your next step towards forgiveness is whispering, I'm not willing to let this own my heart or define me anymore. Or praying, God, I don't know how to forgive yet, but I'm willing for you to start that work in me. And then in your mind or in person at Mass or adoration, give it to God. Imagine handing that hurt over to him. Imagine putting it in the tabernacle and locking it in there with the Eucharist. And then we can say, Lord, help me to remember to see myself the way that you see me. Help me to think and interact in ways that allow me to acknowledge my worth and in the ways that teach me to that allow me to interact with others in a way that teaches them to acknowledge my worth as well. Because forgiveness isn't weakness, it's strength. It takes courage to say, I'm ready to make space in my life for healing and peace and joy again. And then when we release that weight, we open that door for that freedom and that empowerment for healthier relationships with ourselves, with God, and certainly with others.
That's a lot to unpack there, Rachel. I want to thank you so much for those insights. And you mentioned Next Steps, which reminds me, you actually are running a workshop right now called Next Steps. Tell our listeners a bit about that and how they can benefit from it.
Yeah, so Next Steps is a 8-week, every other week cohort for women who are entering into a new season of life, whether it's, you know, a career shift, empty nesting, personal growth, or maybe even a shift in relationships, and they're stepping into that place of the unknown. We're starting August 28th, or 26th, excuse me, we're starting August 26th. And it will be working through the tools and the skills that we need to be able to navigate those changes in our life. And we'll be working through that in a cohort, so you won't be alone. There's that support that we need, because forgiveness and change often feel isolating. And so this gives you the opportunity to build those skills and not have to do that alone.
So where can folks go to sign up for that Next Steps workshop?
If you go to CatholicCounselors.com/shop, you'll be able to find that. You can also find it at CatholicCounselors.com/next-steps.
CatholicCounselors.com/next-steps to learn more about Rachel Isaac's Next Steps workshop. If you are going through transitions in some way from one state of life to another, Rachel wants to help make that transition smoother and enable you to discover what God has planned for that next chapter in your life. So check it out, CatholicCounselors.com/next steps.
Or truly, we are all going through some kind of transition all of the time, and we feel very off kilter and often alone, and we don't know what to do about it. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for everyone.
Rachel, thank you for being with us. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, we are taking your calls right now about forgiveness. You know, Rachel shared a lot of insights about why forgiveness is important and what it really means to forgive. It doesn't mean saying that everything's okay. It doesn't mean saying that I forget the offense or that I don't feel the hurt anymore. It doesn't mean saying that, okay, well, I'm just going to magically pretend the relationship's all better now. It's a process that allows us to surrender our desire to keep adding hurt to the hurt, and instead allow God in to heal our hearts and possibly point the way toward healing of the relationship if the other person's willing to work with us. And if they're not, empower us to set boundaries that make it less likely that that offense will happen again. We're talking about how you can apply all those principles in your own life. And whether you are struggling to forgive yourself or others, or having a hard time getting someone to forgive you, let us help you walk through those steps to seek true forgiveness. 877-573-7825. We're unpacking the challenge of forgiveness in every way. Let's talk through it together and help you find the peace, wholeness, and healing that comes from receiving that gift of forgiveness. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
Sin creates a proclivity to sin, the Catholic Catechism teaches. It develops vice by repetition of the same wrong act. Thus, sin tends to reinforce and reproduce itself. Vice can be linked to the capital sins, which are called capital because they can engender other sins and other vices. The capital sins are pride, avarice, envy, wrath, lust, gluttony, and sloth. Sin is a personal act, but we can also be responsible for the sins of others under certain conditions. Sin can make men accomplices of one another, the Catechism warns, causing concupiscence, violence, and injustice to reign among them. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo.
We just did our parish mission a couple weeks ago now, and I suggested that in the course of the mission that we do something like a little mini spiritual assessment of our lives. I don't have to show this to anybody, but a great chance for us just to, with real honesty, just between us and Jesus, ask ourselves some questions. First question, given the fact that half of Catholics don't think God is even personal, would be to ask ourselves that. Do I think God is personal? And then to ask myself, do I think a relationship with Jesus is possible? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? And if so, what's it look like? And then perhaps a little bit more awkwardly or painfully, to ask Jesus, from his perspective, what's the friendship that we have with him look like? How would he describe our friendship with him? That might be a hard conversation to have.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. When children get to about age 10, they're much less naturally inclined to do something because their mom and dad said so. This isn't defiance. It represents the fact that their brains have developed to the point that they need to understand why they're doing something, not because they want to challenge your authority, but because they have a God-given need to learn how to apply the lessons you're trying to teach them when you aren't there to tell them what to do. Kids raised with punishment-oriented strategies tend not to learn to think for themselves. They're effectively taught to follow the lead of the most commanding presence in the room. That might be okay when we're in the room with them, but when we're not, it sets our kids up to follow other leaders who have anything but their best interests in mind. How can you raise kids who know how to choose to do the right thing even when you're not around to make it happen? Check out Parenting Your Kids with Grace or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Of the day, our show is titled Forgive Me, as we talk about forgiving others, forgiving ourselves, or getting forgiveness from the people we've hurt. If you're struggling with forgiveness, however that plays out in your life, let's talk about finding those steps toward healing, wholeness, and reconciliation where possible. 877-573-7825.
Before we take our next call, we want to send out congratulations to another great EWTN radio partner celebrating 11 years with us. KXDM 95.3 serves Moreland, Wyoming.
Congratulations to Father Bryce Lundgren and his team at Divine Mercy Radio from all of us here at EWTN. And we want to ask you, listeners, wherever you are tuning into EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you are supporting your local EWTN Catholic Radio station with your prayers, for sure, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Catholic Radio going strong for decades to come. Why? Well, so we can keep supporting you and all the people you love in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. And I want to send out congratulations not just to Father Bryce Lundgren and his team at Divine Mercy Radio, but everybody who is bringing Catholic Radio to the world and all the listeners who are supporting Catholic Radio in your neck of the woods. With that, let's go back to the calls. We're talking about forgiveness today on More to Life, 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Rebecca, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
Hi, Rebecca. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Yep.
Rebecca, are you there?
Thank you.
Rebecca?
Thank you.
She's on another call. Let's go to Gina, who's listening in Virginia. We'll come back to Rebecca later. Gina, are you there? Gina?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Gina. What can we do for you?
Yes. Thank you for this morning. My main question is, how do you reconcile with someone that you discover, this is your husband, you discover that he's a sex addict, and how do you let go of the pain? How do you help reconcile the fact that, just like the counselor was saying a moment ago, the other person doesn't understand or doesn't have the empathy to understand.
So is your husband seeking help for these addictions? What's the situation there? Is he just acting out with the alcoholism and the sex addiction, or is he getting treatment for it? Where is he at in the recovery process?
Right now, when he is more than anything looking for reconciliation with me, and I have been.
So he's not really taking responsibility for his problems. He just wants you to take him back.
He listens to SA meetings, sex addicted meetings, on the way from work. He has ordered some books. He says he keeps reading the Bible and books about.
But are you seeing him change? Are you seeing him really changing his behavior, or is he just going through those motions?
From 100% that I saw that he denied in the beginning, I have seen a 60% in the sense of I stopped dating him. I said, I'm not going to go out with you because he has this lust addiction. He cannot stop looking at women around. So he has stopped going to bars, stopped going out. However, a month ago, I saw him at a restaurant bar before coming home, and I called him to ask a valid question, another thing, and he denied he was at a bar, and I decided to block him. And now, when he comes home is when we have communication, for example. And I have been setting boundaries that, of course, don't go well with him. He's an accredited pastor and counselor.
Are you two living under the same roof at this point, or are you in different households?
No, we are under the same roof.
Okay.
All right. So Gina, let's talk about this. So, you know, you can't let go of the pain. Forgiveness doesn't require you to not hurt. Okay? I mean, hurtful things are hurtful. And, you know, when somebody does things that are hurtful to us, we're going to hurt. And that hurt is kind of a prompting of the Holy Spirit to say, you need to take steps to eliminate the risk of this happening again. Right? And so forgiving your husband doesn't mean saying, oh, it's okay, or everything's fine now, or I'm not going to be hurt by the things that you're doing. It means that you're instead of lashing out at him, instead of acting out on the resentment or the pain that you feel, you're going to hold him to account for healing. You're going to ask God to help you be your best self in the situation, which does not mean being the nice person. It means being the person who's able to respond to this crisis in love, which then means holding him to account, because loving somebody means working for their ultimate good. So that means requiring him to fulfill the promises that he's making to you, to work his recovery program and to take it seriously, to not go to the bars, to go to AA, to go to SA. I think he should be both involved in both, and I think that he should be involved in counseling as well. And you want to, in that process, forgiving him also means being willing to look at what is your part in supporting him in his recovery. You know, that doesn't mean that it's your fault in any way, or that you've caused this. But it means that as his wife in the sacrament of marriage, marriage is a healing sacrament. All the sacraments are healing sacraments. They're all about healing the damage that sin does to our ability to love God or each other the way God wants us to. And the sacrament of marriage is about healing the damage that sin has done to our ability to love each other as God wants us to, especially through our bodies. And when I say that, I don't just mean sexually, I mean through the service that we give and the way that we treat each other. So marriage gives us the grace to heal the damage that sin has done to our ability to love each other the way God wants us to. And so when we encounter problems in our marriage, we tend to think that's you know, a sign of a defect in the marriage, and it can be, but often it's the marriage doing what it's supposed to do by calling out those hurts, by calling out those injuries, by calling out those sins and shining light on them so that they can be healed. So part of forgiving your husband is being willing to participate in his recovery program in a responsible and healthy way, not taking responsibility for his recovery, but being willing to participate in that recovery process by going to counseling with him or going to whatever groups or meetings he needs you to go to. But it doesn't mean letting him off the hook. It doesn't mean pretending that everything's okay, and it doesn't mean enabling him in any way to continue this. In fact, it does require you in some ways to set the boundaries that allow you to decrease the likelihood that those offenses will continue. Now, you mentioned that you are setting some boundaries and he doesn't like it. Well, nobody likes boundaries, but that's what he needs to do. He needs to reckon with those boundaries so that he can earn your trust and show you that he is changing and changed. If he's working harder to get you to surrender those boundaries than he is on recovering, then that is he's not in a place where he can be reconciled with. Forgiving him doesn't mean not holding him accountable. It doesn't mean pretending that it's okay. It doesn't mean not hurting. It means I'm not going to go out of my way to hurt him for having hurt me, but I am going to hold him responsible for healing and becoming the man of God that he is called to be.
Greg, I want you to repeat something that you just said, and I want you to do it because I don't want to get it wrong. But when you were saying if he's working harder on getting her to forgive him rather than on
healing. Yeah, no, if your husband is working harder to get you to surrender your boundaries than he is on his recovery, then he's not taking this seriously. If he's saying, look, I respect those boundaries, I don't like them, but I get it, and thank you for putting those boundaries up because it's helping me take my recovery seriously, that's one thing, right? If he's saying, oh, Gina, how come you're being so unforgiving, and how dare you do this to me? Can't you see I'm working the program? Why can't we just go back to everything being the way it was? That's not real recovery. And he's still playing. He's still fooling himself and trying to fool you. So forgiving him does not mean not feeling the hurt. It doesn't mean not holding him accountable. In fact, it does require you to hold him accountable, because if forgiveness is surrendering our natural desire for revenge or to hurt someone for having hurt us, enabling him to continue in these behaviors is hurting him. And so holding him accountable is actually loving him It's working for his ultimate good. So I want to encourage you in all of this, Gina, to keep it up, right? And if there's more that we can do to support you in this journey, I hope you reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. I know that you liked what Rachel was saying in the last segment. I hope that what we're sharing with you can help you be stronger in this whole process as well. And you can learn more about our services at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we are going to break, but we're continuing to take your calls afterward on the topic of forgiveness, whether you're struggling to forgive someone, forgive yourself, get forgiveness from someone. We are here to help you navigate those complicated steps. 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32.
Be kind, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you.
And you know, this is a challenging verse, you know, because it reminds us that we do need to forgive others. But it's important to remember what forgiveness really is. It does not, and the Catechism specifically says, it is not within our power to not feel or to forget an offense. But by bringing that offense to God in prayer and through intercession for that person who hurt us, God can heal and transform our hearts. That doesn't mean pretending everything's okay, and just like we were talking about with Gina. It doesn't mean letting the person off the hook. In fact, it's the opposite. Forgiving means working for the ultimate good of ourselves, that other person, and our relationship. And if that means holding that person accountable and asking and setting boundaries with them and asking them to do work to heal themselves or the relationship, that's good. That's not us holding their offenses against them. That's what forgiveness requires. And that's what reconciliation requires if we're able to move past forgiveness and actually achieve that reconciliation. We need to know that the other person is willing to do the work that it takes to heal the damage they've done to the relationship. Well, we're taking your calls about forgiveness today on More to Life. When we come back, more with you and your questions about forgiveness.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled, Forgive Me. As we talk about the struggle to forgive, whether we are trying to forgive ourselves or others, or get forgiveness from the people that we've hurt, we want to walk you through the steps toward healing, wholeness, and where possible, reconciliation. 877 573-7825.
Let's talk now with Anne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Anne. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. I'm not sure how to explain this, but I think the forgiveness is there for a situation. It's with the father who there was a lot of all the different kinds of abuse, you know, the emotional, physical, the SA.
This is your children's father?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And when they were younger, yeah. And then now they are older, like late 20s, early 30s. And there are grandkids involved now. And so I'm not sure about the boundary part. Because, you know, that's kind of up to them on what they do.
Yeah.
But all of the abuse is still there. It's just as bad. So I think, you know, it's one thing, you know, I can bring it to God and everything, but there's other little babies.
When you say the abuse, when you say the abuse is still there, you mean that you're... their father, is this your husband, or what's your relationship with their father?
Ex.
So, and their ex-husband is still, your ex-husband is still being abusive to the adult children, you're saying?
Just in the emotional, with the financial stuff, a lot of it, mm-hmm. like their college money and everything was taken, and it would be nice if he returned it, but he's not.
So there was a lot of offense against your children, even as they grew up. How are they relating to him at this point? You obviously have concerns about him being around your grandchildren. How are they relating to him? Are you in a place where you can have a conversation with them saying, I've got these concerns about that, you know, you letting your dad see the children, that he might be dangerous for them? Where is this conversation, and where are they with their dad?
One of them still talks to him, but the babies are young, you know, like under 1 year old. So he hasn't met any of them yet. I just don't know if there's anything that I need to talk to them about, because whenever I haven't talked to them about it at all, because it's really, really difficult and hard, and it's unspeakable. It's not things that you can just like discuss. Like, there's a boy and a girl, and the girl can't even talk about it, and the boy, you know, it's just not a thing that you can just like, hey, let's talk about this. It's too, it's not good stuff.
So your question to our screener was, how can you forgive your ex-husband? Is that what you're asking about, or is there something else?
I think the forgiveness is there, because, like, you can't, like, dwell on it. What I am worried about, do I need to forgive and forget, like, okay, everything's fine now. I've forgiven. Now let's go get back to
absolutely
not.
So, in fact, the catechism specifically says that it is not in our power to not feel or forget an offense. So that idea of forgive and forget, that's a kind of a secular perversion of what forgiveness is supposed to be. That is not Christian forgiveness.
And truly, what your role here is now. Is that you need to take the wisdom that you learned through the experience of having your husband abuse your children, and obviously at least emotionally abuse you, and say, not that you want revenge on this person, but that the wisdom will help you address the pain of your children and protect your grandchildren. And when I say to you, Anne, have you discussed this with your kids? Now, hopefully, you're able to tell them, whatever you need to heal, I will be here for you. If you need me to go to counseling with you, if you need whatever it is you need, I will always be here for you. But without even getting into the details of what we went through as a family and the pain that you have suffered, you need to know that he has not changed, and letting him around your children is dangerous. And I need to let you know that that is not a safe thing for you to do. Even if you don't want to talk about the details of anything that happened, you and you're saying this to your children as well, you need to be empowered enough to set boundaries that he will never be alone with these children, because he is still a broken, dangerous person.
So I want to go back to what I was saying before, and I think everything Lisa's saying is spot on. When we're forgiving, we're not saying that we just let it all go and pretend it's fine and forget it, whatever. What we're doing is we're committing to working toward healing instead of hurting. That's what forgiveness is, whatever that means. If that means me calling the other person on to change, if that means setting boundaries with that person who hurt us, if that means doing what we can to seek healing for ourselves or the other people who have been hurt, forgiveness means that I am committing myself to the process of healing rather than hurting.
And taking the wisdom that I have gained through my experience in order to protect myself and make things better for others in the future. So you went into your relationship with your husband and had children with your husband, and I guarantee that because he's an abusive personality, this snuck up on you little by little by little by little by little, and he got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So you didn't have wisdom when you started the relationship, but you have wisdom in the hindsight of what happened in your family life now. And now God is saying to you, use the wisdom you have gained to protect your grandchildren and to help heal your family. And again, offer to your children, if you ever want to go into therapy together to address what happened in our family life, I am more than willing to do whatever you ask of me.
But to go back to that original question, you know, when you said, am I just supposed to forgive and forget? I'm going to, if you look it up yourself, Catechism, paragraph 2843, it is not in our power not to feel or to forget an offense. But the heart that offers itself to the Holy Spirit turns injury into compassion and purifies the memory and transforming the hurt into intercession. So basically, what it's saying here is that you're going to continue to feel hurtful things, and you're not going to forget it, and you probably shouldn't forget it. But you keep bringing those offenses to God so that we can commit ourselves to the process of healing as opposed to the process of perpetuating the hurt. And so forgiving, in this case, means calling your ex-husband in whatever reasonable way you can to repent, doing the work on yourself to heal whatever damage he brought into your heart, doing whatever you reasonably can to encourage your children to heal and to protect your grandchildren, that you are committing yourself to the process of healing as opposed to perpetuating the hurt, either by nursing the wounds that you've received or, you know, anything else. But that's what forgiveness really requires, not pretending that everything's okay.
And we all have to realize that if we choose to forgive someone, forgiving them does not mean they suddenly, because you've waved a magic forgiveness wand, become a healthy, safe person. They're still who they are. We can, as the Catechism said, use the grace we've received to intercede for their healing. But they're not completely healed and safe yet. We need to work on ourselves. How can we be trustworthy to ourselves and those who are being affected by it?
And if we can support you in your ongoing healing journey and help you or your adult kids find faithful ways to respond to these hurts, I encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'd be happy to work with you on that. But I hope that these ideas, these principles, will help you think differently about what it means to relate to your ex-husband and his ongoing abuse of your adult children. And building on what you were just saying here, I want to go back to Rebecca's call. We had some issues there where we weren't able to get her on, but she was asking, you know, is forgiveness something that you have to do daily, or is it as a kind of a one-and-done thing? And as we were just describing with Anne and with Gina before, it's a process, obviously, right? It's an ongoing process of committing to healing rather than hurting, whatever that means. I'm committing to healing, seeking healing for the hurts that were committed against me. I'm committed to doing what I reasonably can to call the other person to change and to heal them, whatever caused them to hurt us, because hurt people hurt people. I'm going to do whatever I can to heal whatever relationships might have been affected. I'm also acknowledging what I can't do. Right, and recognizing that there are some things that I can't fix on my own. And for those cases, I'm going to set appropriate boundaries to decrease the likelihood that those offenses will either continue or continue to cause harm. So that forgiving process does not mean just pretending everything's fine and getting on with things and treating the other person as if they never did anything. It's really working for my ultimate good, their ultimate good, and the ultimate good of the relationship, whatever that requires. And if you are looking for faithful ways to embrace that process of forgiveness, that commitment to healing instead of hurting, I invite you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can be hooked up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform, help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Again, that's CatholicCounselors.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.